This is The Record on KUOW. I'm Ross Reynolds. Novelist Richard Ford's new book of novellas, Let Me Be Frank With You, continues the story of Frank Bascom that began with a sports writer in 1986, continued with a Pulitzer Prize-winning Independence Day in 1995, and Lay of the Land in 2006. The character of Frank Bascom is now 68. Richard Ford is 70. Thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Nice to see you, Ross.
So you've said you did not intend to return to Frank Bascom, but Hurricane Sandy that devastated some of Frank's old stomping grounds on the Jersey Shore prompted you to bring him back. What was the connection there?
Well, the connection was that I went down with my wife after the hurricane down to Seaside Heights and Seaside generally all along the Barnegat Bay there. And I was just affected strongly by the aftermath of that hurricane. And as Christina and I were driving back from the shore, I just started doing what I do, which is generating lines. And I thought it would be interesting to write about the consequences of the hurricane, consequences that the media weren't going to notice in their incessance. And I thought, well, you have to use Frank here because this, as you said, it's his stomping ground. This is where he's had a life, and he would be the most plausible person to tell the stories that I could make up. So that's why I did it, yeah. It was actually to write a book about the easiest passage of writing a book I've ever had.
Why do you suppose that was?
Well, I think novellas are easier to write than novels, for one thing, and these, as you said, are novellas. And this was so pleasant to be writing in Frank's voice, and I had a built-in important subject, which was the hurricane.
You spent a long time over the years with Frank Bascom. What do you like about him? What do you dislike about him?
I don't dislike anything because I don't think of him as a character, as a human being. I think of him as a piece of artifice. What I like about him as a piece of artifice who acts on readers that I make up is that he's able to be both corporeal, which is to say instinctual, sort of almost reactionary to the events around him, and yet he also has access to some intelligence too. We are all that way. We all try to think. We all try to let intellection somehow order our behavior. And Frank tries to do that. And yet we are also instinctual and we are impulsive and we react to things. I like that.
It's interesting about Frank as a character because one of the things that Frank says is character is one more lie of history and dramatic arts. We only have what we did yesterday, what we do today, and what we still might do.
That's right. And that's what I think. That's one of those moments in this book in which Frank and I agree. I'm a student of Emerson. I love Emerson, and Emerson believes, although he's not as consistent typically of Emerson as you'd like him to be, he believes that inside all of us there is this, as he calls it, a mass. There is this kernel of essence, this self, which we are, and our behavior and our instincts and our intellection, again, surrounds this mass. I've just never found that to be true about myself. I don't think I have a mass like that. And I've begun to believe, particularly over the years and what I've been making characters and making them plausible, I don't see it in anybody else either. I think it's just as Frank says, we have what we did, what we plan to do, and what we think about those things, and that's what we are. Character is a construct by which we try to order our understanding of the behavior of others and try to order our understanding of our own behavior, but I don't think it really exists.
My guest is Richard Ford. We're talking about his most recent book called Let Me Be Frank With You. It's a group of novellas, more of the story of Frank Bascom. As a 62-year-old, I'd read the story of this 68-year-old with great interest in that he's dealing with coming to terms with aging. And there's so many interesting things that he says about that, one of which is, most everyone I knew before is gone or dead. I don't make much of an impression on things now, which is satisfying.
Well, that's just my own general perversity, you know. if I write a sentence like that, convention would tell me that if Frank says, or if anybody says, I don't make much of an impression on anybody, and that makes me really unhappy. It's just my nature to say, it could just as easily make you happy as make you unhappy. So that's how that comes into being. I don't know if that's even true, you know.
But in fact, Frank is, in some ways, I don't know if I want to say withdrawing from the world, but he's got a different attitude towards the world. It's what he calls his default period at age 68. What's he mean by that?
Well, I want to try to identify these periods of life of human beings that conventional wisdom doesn't identify. I mean, it's one of literature's great opportunities to do that. The default period is this period in Frank's life in which he basically tries to be the best person he can be without really having to be that. Without having to cashier his whole self. But he wants to be the person that other people would like him to be. And I don't think that that's – it could seem cynical to someone. But I don't think that's entirely an unlikable quality in us to try to want to meet other people's expectations. I know that the last 50 years has been dedicated to all of us getting ourselves fully expressed and getting ourselves, you know, ourself in the middle of everything. That hasn't worked out very well, if anybody hasn't noticed. We've become a nation of narcissists.
Mm-hmm. Well, part of what Frank's doing, as you mentioned, he wants to, in all instances, act nice. This is
right.
His goal as he turns 68.
It's mine, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably yours. I mean, most of the people that you're going to come in contact with, you're never going to see again. They're never going to make an impression on you, and you're not going to make an impression on them. So just be nice. Just try to make that interchange pleasurable, pleasant, you know. Be polite. There's nothing wrong with it. That's what I do. I mean, it doesn't mean that if you piss me off, that niceness will persist.
But your default is nice to start with.
My default is nice. That's right.
I also love the way that he's decided to, at one point you say, streamline his utterances, and at another point, decommission the polluted words from his vocabulary. And I was thinking, reading those lines from a writer who probably spends a lot of time figuring out which words to take out, mm-hmm. He's kind of adopting that in his life.
That's right. In an effort to make life a little more essential to himself. But we are all, with this language that we have circulated through our brain, as tyrannized as we are pleased by the language that we hear and the language that we use. Therefore, there are all kinds of words which need to leave our language and never be spoken again. We no longer should say no problem when we mean you're welcome. We don't need to say hydrate when we really mean drink. We no longer need to say we will reach out to them, by which you mean I'm going to give them a phone call. So those are the words that Frank feels tyrannized by and that he's excluding from his vocabulary.
Well, we've been talking about the book, but I'd love to give people a little bit of a flavor of the book. Do you have a passage that you could read for us?
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll read that little passage. In recent weeks, I've begun compiling a personal inventory of words that, in my view, should no longer be usable in speech or in any form. This in the belief that life's a matter of gradual subtraction aimed at a solider, more nearly perfect essence after which all mentation goes, and we head for our own virtual Chillicothes. A reserve of fewer, better words would help, I think, by setting an example for clearer thinking. It's not so different from moving to Prague and not learning the language so that the English you end up speaking to make yourself understood bears a special responsibility to be clear, simple, and value-bearing. When you grow old, as I am, you pretty much live in the accumulations of life anyway. Not that much is happening. Except on the medical front. Better to strip things down. And where better to start stripping than the words we choose to express our increasingly rare, increasingly vagrant thoughts? It would be challenging, for instance, for a native Czech speaker to fully appreciate the word poop or friggin' or the phrase we're pregnant or what's the takeaway or, for that matter, awesome when it only means tolerable.
Richard Ford, reading from his latest book of novellas called Let Me Be Frank With You, continuing the story of Frank Bascom. Another thing that Frank at 68 is beginning to pare back on, or at least think about differently, are friends. He's decided there's only room for 5 important friends, and he says friendship is overrated.
Yeah.
He's economizing on others.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I've just noticed friendships running out of steam, to no one's discredit. You know, you have friends all your life, and some persist and some don't, and some just sort of stumble along on the basis of some past you've shared but that has not come into the present. So why not just get rid of it? why not just step aside and say, you know, in behalf of, again, making life a little clearer, in behalf of conserving your time and energy, why don't you just quietly say, you know, you've been a nice guy, I like you, but I really don't want to spend any more time with you. Not because you're bad or because I am, I just don't want to do that. I don't see anything wrong with that. Instead of having these awful dinner parties with all these people who show up and then you don't really want to spend the time with them, just don't. I remember in more times than I would like to admit, people coming over to my house and getting down on my hands and knees and crawling around on the floor hoping they won't see that I'm home. We've all done that, at least figuratively.
To thinking through Frank Bascom's attitude toward aging and that change help at all with thinking through your own? Or did it work the other way? Were you able to kind of bring into this book a lot of things that you'd already been thinking about aging?
Well, you know, Ross, I've never thought about aging.
Okay.
I don't think that I'm aging any faster between 69 and 70, which is what I am, 70, than I did when I was aging from 41 to 42. I'm just a little closer to death. There are qualities of life that are affected by the nearness of death. You know, there are a lot of lines by a lot of really good writers like Saul Bellow and Walter Benjamin who basically say, in essence, that storytellers take their authority from death. There is a way that the onset or the closeness of death causes life to quicken. I had an operation at the Mayo Clinic a few years ago in which they told me I had lymphoma. Ultimately, they told me that I didn't, but in the time between when they told me that I did and when they told me that I didn't, I made some really interesting observations about life, which is do the things you want to do and do them now.
Mm-hmm.
Being diagnosed as having lymphoma had nothing to do with aging. I could have had that if I was 40 or 35. But when you get close to death, things are seen a little more intensely, and I think that's good.
And how about the art of writing? Is it different for you at 70 than it was for you at 30 when you sit down with that blank page in front of you?
I'm probably less driven crazy by it. I mean, when I was in my late 20s and I was trying to make myself be a writer, I had to stiffen up my discipline, and I was already a pretty disciplined person. I don't have to discipline myself like that anymore. I won't say that it comes natural to me. It doesn't come natural to me. Writing is not natural to me. It's something I've made myself do and taught myself to do. But I don't have to be at war with myself about doing it. I just do it.
Book tours like the one you're on now, they're designed to sell books, but do you get anything out of meeting your readers and reading your work before an audience? What kind of things have you gotten out of this?
Well, people tell me things.
Yeah.
I'm just one of those people who are either blessed or afflicted by being the recipient of other people's stories. People tell me all kinds of things. So when people are asking me to sign books, they often want to tell me something. And I'm always interested in it, not in a mercenary way. I'm not interested because I'm going to go squirrel it away and write it down and use it as some writers do. I just it's usually about the effect that a book has had on them. Maybe not my book. And I share that affection for books with readers. We come together on the occasion of my book, but the occasion really radiates to all of our interest in literature and all of the things that literature can do for us.
Richard Ford, thank you so much for stopping by. It's been a great pleasure.
It's nice to see you.
The new book is called Let Me Be Frank With You. This is The Record on KUOW. I'm Ross Reynolds.